Must. You were very high still, to say the
and
least.
And I looked down and I was like, I can see my food.
The sourdough is so good, but why do we have to roast it to...
Like, I don't know.
I don't need, I don't want, it's not even cardboard at that point. It becomes
it's like a shingle.
Yeah. Like just a light, I don't know. Maybe there's something we're missing. How sourdough is intended to be ate?
Maybe we just have like sensitive bitch ass mouths, but it like abrades the skin from the inside of my mouth.
Also, like if we do no cavity gang again, congrats to us. That's true.
Yeah, we went to the dentist and both of us don't have
cavities. Not a cavity in sight.
I do have one that is on a watch though.
You had one that was on a watch?
Yeah. Two of my, like in between two of my teeth is on a watch list.
It's not your fault though. So it's not your fault.
It's one of the ones that I can't floss easily because of my permanent retainer. So I'm like, you know, also, I'm not taking accountability for that.
We talk about two. I don't know how your hygienist was new, I guess, but it seems that no matter how much you floss, it's never good enough for the dentist and hygienist. Like,
correct.
I'm like, oh yeah, I've actually been flossing more this time than I have
ever,
probably like my entire life.
Yes.
Like, yeah, but have you been using your water pick every day? And I'm like, man, can I get like one? Like, would it kill you to just be like, oh, good job, and just fucking leave it at that?
Great. But also too, like, are you guys getting a kickback from Waterpik? Like, what? Because my hygienist
asked me,
do you have a Waterpik? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, how often do you use it? And I was like, I don't really. And she was like, why? She said, do you find it inconvenient? And I was like, no, I just don't really feel like it helps all that much. Like, I found flossing with actual floss, like the little floss picks, to be faster. But also, it's just like, I mean, to me, that seems like more effective than using the water pick.
Yeah.
And because also that's what they told me. Of note is that the last hygienist that I had told me water picks are good, but there really is no substitute for like flossing with real floss.
Yes.
And so I was like, say less. So we bought these little floss picks and
the picks are amazing.
Well, and also it's again the thing, like the same reason that I buy disposable contact lenses, because like if I have to remember to like take the floss out of the medicine cabinet, cut the thing off, and then like, you know,
do the whole thing,
then I'm much less likely to use it. And so I can care for my body much more effectively if I use a disposable one-time thing, which like might not be the best for the environment, but like I'm meeting myself where I'm at.
Yeah.
So we bought those. I was able to floss a lot more. And then this time I go in and she's like, well, you know, you should really buy a handheld water pick. Because then can use it in the shower. And like a lot of my, you know, my patients find that easier. And I was like, okay. Cause like, I'm not going to argue with her. Like
also to their hands are in your mouth. Like there's not really any point.
Literally. So I was just like, okay, like whatever. And then at the end of my appointment, she brought it up again, being like, okay, yeah. And don't forget to buy a handheld water pick so that you can really get under that permanent retainer. And I was just like, yeah, no, for sure. Definitely. Yeah, yeah. I'll make sure that I buy a second water pick that can be put in the graveyard of like dental equipment. That I don't use.
Also,
like, why would I do that?
I don't
why
understand. Would I do that? Also like just, are they getting kickbacks from? Like,
but also,
is this big dentistry?
It's the moving goalpost for me.
Oh,
that like
every time.
Last time they were like, use real floss.
Yes.
And this time I was like, I used real floss. And you're like, I'm flossing more. And they're like, but are you using your water pick? So, like, which
also,
is it?
We had no cavities. So, like,
but like
either
okay,
we're doing good or we're not. Just tell us we're good. Literally, we're good.
Just give me praise. But also, for real, like, on a real note, am I to understand then that the expectation from our hygienist is that we be brushing our teeth twice a day with an electric toothbrush.
Oh, but don't forget, you can't brush your teeth after you've ate or before you've ate and not first thing in the morning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But so brush your teeth twice a day with an electric toothbrush with fluoride toothpaste. Also be flossing your teeth at least once, if not twice a day. Use the mouth rinse that they recommend to us at least once a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then also to be using a water pick twice a day. Baby, that's a full-time job. What do, like, do I look like I have
sometimes
a hyperfixation?
I don't even get fully dressed some days. Like, we're asking me to go to work.
I walk around the house in my underpants because I cannot be bothered to put pants on. But you want me to successfully complete 4 separate dental hygiene procedures twice in a day. Huh?
Couldn't be me.
Just like tell me that you're neurotypical without telling me.
Is that an, you think so? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of tasks.
Me and my executive dysfunction could never.
We did learn. Never. Too, because we were going to do the flossing challenge thing again, where we do. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to be honest. Like, I've been flossing great without it. And as soon as you tell me that we're in a challenge now, I'm like, well, I don't want to do it now.
Yeah. Pathological demand avoidance is a real problem. I'm like, I don't want to
fucking participate in this bullshit. This fucking matriarchal.
No wonder I was doing it more than you last time.
Yeah, because I was like, I don't want
to fuck this.
Like, yeah, as soon as you tell me to do something, I'm like, I'm literally going to do the opposite
that's
now.
So funny. Pathological demand avoidance is such a trip because it can be a thing that you want to do, but as soon as somebody tells you to do it, then you're like,
I could believe, or like, I could be on the same page with someone, or like the person I dislike the most. And if they said something that I totally agreed with, I'd be like, no, I don't agree with that anymore. Like, I will do anything to argue with you now just because it's you.
That's like, so rude. I don't disagree with you, though.
I know.
I don't disagree with you.
I'm not a perfect person.
That's fair.
And
that's allowed. I just, hold on. I had a thought.
On the pod, or is this?
No, about the dentist.
Oh, yeah.
Because actually, this is related to our subject material today, which is that I wasn't drinking coffee or alcohol or like caffeine.
No fun.
For like a solid 6 months because of my surgery recovery. And I told the hygienist about it and she was like, okay. Every other time that I'm in there, they ask me, do you drink coffee or red wine or soda? And I'm always like, well, you know, like occasional red wine. I do drink coffee every day. And they'll be like, well, how many cups? And I'm like, I don't know, like 3 probably.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, you should really try to cut back, blah, blah, blah. It will make your teeth less yellow, which like, first of all,
I wish you could have had
if my teeth are healthy, quit coming at me about the cosmetic things. But second of all, what do you want me to do? Just cease to exist? And then I stopped drinking coffee and wine and all this stuff for 6 months because I had no other choice. And they're like, unremarkable. Like, girl.
But also,
I think really what we're discovering is that we just want to be celebrated by our dentists.
Oh, definitely. And that's our childhood trauma for you, ain't it? It always comes back.
Gold star.
We've got to be gold star. Like, I want my name on a fucking board and I want you to slap that sticker on there.
I need
so everyone else can see.
I need a coupon to eat a pizza.
Are exceptional teeth brusherers.
Absolutely. Put my picture on
I wish you could have had your other hygienist because I wonder what they would have said.
I know.
Also, too, it's such an interesting job because, like, your whole job revolves around talking to people that can't talk back to you.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious about that too. Also, to be clear, if you're a dental hygienist, we don't have beef with you. I know that at you guys all. Are just doing your job.
I actually love my hygienist.
Your hygienist is really
sweet.
She
is so thorough.
She used to be
she
mine.
She is sweet. I know. I'm sorry. It's because we have dental dates now.
I know.
But I wouldn't trade. Every time I go back there, I'm always a little annoyed, but I'm like, I wouldn't want anyone else.
I know. She's really sweet.
I know.
She's really good at making small talk, too, which is nice.
She does.
It is a little bit frustrating when they ask you questions with their hands all in your mouth because you're like, what am I going to say?
Yeah.
But I do appreciate that she'll just kind of talk, like, for the whole time.
Yes.
Which was really helpful for me and my anxiety.
Some ums and ahs and...
Yeah, because I can't really be lost in my thoughts if someone's talking to me.
Speaking of, what is it with Uber drivers not catching a hint?
Ooh.
Like, why do they just always want to be dropping the most traumatic or like uncomfortable?
I think it's me. This happens to me like just existing in daily
myself,
life.
I feel like I'm fine.
Yeah. There must be something about my face that like people can just read that like, oh, I should tell you my deepest, darkest and most traumatic secrets, even though I don't know you.
We honestly can't even quite frankly talk about what that last Uber driver was talking to us about on the pod.
No.
And I don't know how anymore. Oh, or like,
uncomfortable.
But also we tried to start a conversation with each other.
Yes.
And then still interjected themselves.
We imposed the like awkward silence. We are straight up not responding to you.
Our toolbox is empty.
And then you and I were talking to each other and the Uber driver interrupted our conversation with one another to talk at us about a thing that was like actually really upsetting.
Yeah.
This is why I don't like Uber. I mean, for many reasons, but especially that.
You think taxi drivers and stuff would be different or like?
Well, no. I mean, I just don't like having someone that I don't know drive me places, public transportation, or drive myself, or bust for me.
Yeah, when was the last time you took public transportation?
College.
And also, too, like, it doesn't even exist, like,
no, not here.
Honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's, like, not in a actually, like, well-fleshed out way.
Speaking of things that don't exist anymore.
My boobies! Well, I mean, they do.
They do, but not in the same way.
But we cut a lot of them off.
I think we have decided it's time.
We're doing it.
The last video we uploaded about it was, like, 5 months ago.
I know. It's like been a minute.
That's actually wild. Because how long was recovery supposed to be?
My actual recovery was supposed to take 8 to 12 weeks.
Okay.
And it took double that,
yeah,
if not more.
Because I feel like...
Because it took at least 12 weeks for the second phase.
Yeah. October?
October 16th was the day.
And then when would you say, I'd say a couple weeks ago, probably you were like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been probably 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That I've been fully healed.
As of today,
it's March 17th.
Lucky us.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
So yeah, I mean, really like the first week of March probably was the first time that I felt normal.
Where do you want to start? Do we just start from the beginning?
I feel like we should just start from the beginning.
Okay. I think
we've talked to you guys all the way up until like surgery day, basically. So you guys were tracking with like why I was doing this, all of that stuff. I don't think we need to recap that.
No, but we do need a disclaimer right now.
Ooh, good call. So. Yes. If you are a person who, first of all, if you are a client or former client of mine, hi, I hope that you're doing well. But second of all, this is not the content for you. Like respectfully and with love, the content that I'm making, like we're going to talk about my body parts, which also too, like body parts of mine that are like somewhat sensitive as far as like the cultural Many perception reasons. Of those. Yeah. Like they're a hyper sexualized body part for a lot of people. And so there's like a boundaries aspect to that I feel like is important. So like this is me kindly, respectfully requesting that people who have like clinical contact with me in my like professional life not engage with this content just because I feel like it's kind of it's a gray area, you know. But also this is for everybody. There is going to be a very serious and strong warning, content warning, trigger warning on this for gore, medical gore, blood. Surgery, injuries.
I feel like we both became a little bit more of men.
Some of the pictures that we're going to show you, because we are going to try to show you pictures in a way that like obviously preserves my privacy and is like appropriate still. But I do feel like it's hard to explain what exactly went down without showing you the photos.
Also too, because you got to be, wow, I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
Isn't that so fun?
Love
that. Isn't that your favorite?
Yeah. Also as a fair warning, if you are sensitive about breast reductions or top surgery or things like that, if that's like a button for you, this might not be the episode for you. Because I also want to be clear that my healing journey didn't look like the vast majority of people's.
This is definitely like an outlier.
And so this is not a like me trying to scare anyone or be like, don't go get this procedure, because it is entirely possible. And I would say like very likely that you would have an uncomplicated and perfectly healthy recovery. This is just me like talking about it because we were planning on making an update anyways.
Oh yeah.
And then it just things kind of went sideways. So like I want to be honest about that. But yeah, that's like all of our warnings up front is that we're talking about some actually very sensitive material today. So if you're at all like, you know, sensitive about those things, please know that going in that this might not be the video for you.
I think with all that said, are you ready to start from the beginning?
Yes. I'm excited.
Yes.
So yeah, I mean, like I said, we talked about all of the before stuff. I mean, I don't think we need to recap that. We can start basically from surgery day.
Yeah, we got up like what, 4 a.m.?
Yes, my surgery day or my surgery time was really early.
We were actually going to go to a concert that night.
the night before.
Yeah, we were going to go see Janelle Monáe.
Yeah, we decided not to.
But it was in Phoenix. And we thought, wow, what an awful way to start your recovery being dog shit tired.
Yes.
And exhausted.
Well, and also like in trying to be a COVID conscious person or people, we really try not to be like out in like large public spaces like that unless it's something that's really important to us. And like Janelle Monáe is really important to us, so we bought tickets and decided to go. But like the night before having a life-changing and actually very difficult to heal from surgery is not the time to be needlessly exposing yourself to like communal germs.
We wanted to we tried to make it work, and you know, it just wasn't. Maybe next time.
We'll catch Janelle when she comes back. But so we decided not to go to that, and then actual surgery day, we were there pretty early.
Yep, I think it was like 4 a.m.
Yeah, that was like all pretty unremarkable, honestly. My surgeon is really wonderful.
Oh, the best.
And also like the care that I received at that office was like truly the best medical care that I've ever received in my entire life.
I feel like so many people, if more doctors were like him, I feel like so many people would have, I feel like there would be such a less bad rap
for like doctors medical, and surgeons.
Yeah,
yes.
Industry.
Because first of all, he is a person who... I mean, he's a plastic surgeon and he does like this kind of work, obviously, but he also like has a special interest in doing gender affirming care.
Yeah.
We got recommended his office by a friend of ours who received top surgery at that office and had a great experience. And he told me that like, this is something that I just like really, you know, it's like fun for me to do this, to like help people. Yeah. So that was really nice. But also the staff there, like I, like they would repeatedly check in with me about my pronouns and make sure that nobody was like misgendering me.
Yeah.
And they were all just like the kindest, nicest people.
Like just like sweet. Like
I know.
Sweet is just like the only word, like the word that continues to come to mind.
Yes. The one staff member that we interacted with regularly at all of my checkups was like truly the nicest medical professional that I've ever met. Shout out to her. I don't know if she wants me to put her name on the internet, so I won't, but she is like truly one of the nicest people. I cried at my last appointment with her because she's just so kind and like considerate. Like everybody there was like so genuinely like invested in you being like okay, not just like physically but emotionally.
Yeah, and I think too it's important to note too, like that was all happening before all the like traumatizing, like this should not be happening stuff.
No, they were like that before things
and
went
like
sideways.
Just through, and also I think that like we kept saying the whole time because we had to go back so many extra times. And I was just like, oh, here comes like
an extra charge.
We're overdue for a bill now.
Yes.
And we paid for that surgery one time up front and then never paid
another
for anything
dollar
again. After. Yeah. And like,
except for labs, we did end up having to pay for a lab fee.
Oh, but that was
because we used our insurance for
and
it.
And that
though.
Was separate, obviously.
And they asked
yeah.
if we wanted to, and I said yes.
Yeah.
Jinx. But yeah, so surgery day, I didn't know that they do this, but like he drew on me like all of the surgical marks. So there was like straight up Sharpie, just like all over.
Oh no, he literally was using a Sharpie.
Yeah. And like basically, because I think it was you that asked him like, what exactly are you like marking? And he was like, oh, it just helps us make sure that everything is like symmetrical and that we're like cutting, you know, in all the right areas.
Put your nipples back where they're supposed to go.
Yes, exactly. And so we did all of that. He like had me sit up and, you know, drew all over my boobs and stuff. And then when it was go time, they like wheeled me off to the OR and I said, you know, see you later to you and all that stuff. The other thing that I think is really like sweet is that like going under is just like scary because I've done it three times now for my tonsils and for my gallbladder. And this was like probably the biggest surgery that I've ever had.
Oh, you were in there for a long time.
The tonsil recovery was still worse, to be clear.
Tonsil recovery is always worse.
Way worse. But at least that surgery, like I was under for like all of 10 minutes maybe. This was like a 4-hour procedure.
Yeah.
But as I would like went in there, I started to get nervous. And especially just because you're not there, like you're obviously
my person. I know. I hate when they wheel you away. It breaks my heart every time. Like
I've never been on the other end of it. So I'm curious what that feels like. Yeah.
I think the most I can think of is like I got like wisdom teeth out. Maybe you're like under for like 5 minutes.
No, yeah, you were. Yeah. I didn't even have time to get a Starbucks because they were like, oh, go get breakfast. And I was like, I'll just get a coffee and I'll be right back. And I was still in line for Starbucks when they were like, he's done.
I haven't really had to get anything done.
But yeah, so I started to get nervous. And I was like, can somebody just hold my hand?
Yes.
And everybody in the OR, oh, it's going to make me cry. So sweet.
Yeah.
Literally everybody stopped what they were doing and like came and like crowded around my bed and was like, you're going to do great. Like, we're so proud of you. Yeah. It's all going to go so great.
I know.
And
we
then
got
I like
so
fell asleep.
Lucky like all the way through.
I know. Everybody was so sweet.
Yeah.
Ugh. Hold on, pause. Mickey films a podcast episode without crying challenge.
Failed. Zero days.
Level impossible.
0 days in this workplace without tears. Everyone probably thinks I just wear the same shorts and stuff. And because like I do, but also we weren't planning on filming today. But we just felt we were in a silly, goofy mood. So we thought we'd film today.
But also you look really cute in that outfit.
Oh, thank you. This is my everyday.
I like those shorts.
I do too. That's why I wear them all the time.
They're a short inseam.
I'll buy some
more.
Love that. I have a gift card. I need to buy some more.
You do
soon.
Need to buy some more stuff.
So anyways, so you go in the OR.
Yeah. So we did that. And then obviously for me, it's like you fall asleep and you wake up in the same moment basically. But I don't remember really being in that much pain for the first like 2 days because I was so.
Oh, you were on.
Like. We have a picture. I'll have Aaron put the picture on the screen right now that you took of me the same day that we got home. Mm-hmm. I don't remember taking that photo.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah.
I was so, the thing that I remember about waking up from surgery was that I was nauseous.
Yeah.
I'm a crier. Everybody has a different response to anesthesia and I'm weepy. So I always cry, but I was like nauseous. And
oh yeah, because we took a puke bag home with us.
Yes, yeah. But the staff who was there, like the hospital staff that was there with me, had like a little alcohol prep pad and they just kept waving it in front of my face.
That is the thing for real. Like we have gotten it down how to like stop people from puking.
Yes.
Like the alcohol.
They gave me Zofran, obviously.
Yeah.
To like help with nausea and whatever, but I was still nauseous. And she just waved this prep pad in front of my nose and was like, just breathe gently. She's like, don't like, you know,
no, and
but just
it.
Like breathe gently. And so I was like, okay. And then it like went away. I didn't puke at all.
I can't believe we didn't know about that before. Mm-hmm. Or like,
yeah,
it's so smart. It and works I don't every
know,
time.
I don't know if that's like safe to do.
Or I don't know like, either. But also because I remember that first day we were just like, I would just take the bottle of isopropyl to and you just like, and just like, like, smell this.
Yeah, just enough to get like a little whiff of it, so, and then the nausea would go away.
Yeah. Do you remember me picking you up and getting you in the car and everything? Or because they wheeled you out down there, obviously.
I do remember being in the wheelchair only because the process of having a stranger put your underpants back on you is always awkward. That's and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Thankfully, this person was a lot gentler about it than the last person who did it for my gallbladder surgery. But like, I do remember like trying to clumsily put my feet in the wheelchair
of course.
Things, and then they wheeled me outside. But like, I don't really remember much.
I was so nervous because I was like, oh my God, because I didn't have direct contact to the doctor and I didn't have direct contact. So I just had to call like the regular hospital line and be like, hi, is Mickey available and ready? And I was like, can you just get me to the surgery center?
Yeah.
So talk and like, because they're like, you'll be down in like 20 minutes.
Okay.
And it was like an hour that I was just sitting the waiting.
Yeah.
Like waiting for
probably
because
they were waiting for me to not be nauseous anymore.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. And so I was just stressed. I was like, oh my God, did they put her in the wrong place? Are you just like sitting somewhere in a wheelchair?
Somewhere.
Like just fucking dazed and confused and fresh from anesthesia.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, they wouldn't release it. And then they called me and they're like, they're on their way down.
Okay.
That's
so funny.
But yeah, because you were in the car and we were about to leave and you're like, oh, I feel nauseous. And then they went and grabbed another puke bag for you.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, okay. For the ride home, which is really sweet.
I don't remember that at all.
Do you remember? Because the first thing you did was go to the mirror, because obviously I was nervous. You went to the mirror in our bedroom and you just like held your chest and started crying and you said, oh, I look like me.
Oh, that's so cute.
I don't remember that
at all.
Oh, I wish I would have recorded or something. Yeah. Yeah, you just did
this whole episode is going to be me crying, apparently.
I think that's fair after
that's valid.
This would be like, hopefully, that's some catharsis.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, you just like, I was so, and I, like, at that point, like, obviously, I teared up too, but I was like, so relieved.
That's adorable.
Especially because you hear about people going through it and being like, not getting the results they want and stuff.
Yeah.
But as with all grade A superstar students, you broke a record for the doctor for how much tissue they removed. Do you want to share with the class? Do you have the picture?
I do.
Okay.
I have both pictures.
Super duper
again.
trigger warning
like the strongest trigger warning. I'm literally going to show you pictures of my flesh right now,
honestly, the same. If you
and
have,
also a lot of blood.
If you have issues with this, I'd almost recommend to just watching it on Spotify. The pod.
Oh,
there won't be any pictures
on
the audio version.
True. But also, even if just like hearing about it is an issue for you, that might be overwhelming because this is, it's a lot.
It's guts.
It's a lot. So I'll put the pictures up on the screen in like three, two, one. This is your last chance to look away.
And they're going on the screen right now.
They removed 10 pounds of tissue
yes.
from my breasts.
And not to make jokes about it, but we literally were like, because we've been playing a lot of Baldur's at this point, and we're like, it's literally viscera. Like, they literally removed, like, this is actual viscera.
Oh, wild.
Yeah.
Because I guess we haven't super talked about the actual details of what they did. Did, like, a breast reduction, but also a breast lift, because the tissue that they removed, you can't just, like, sew the skin back together. They have
like
to like reposition
like,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They also, because I expressed that like I want my boobs to be like self-supporting.
Yeah.
One of my biggest frustrations.
Never gotten to experience that.
Yes. One of my biggest frustrations about the way my breast tissue was structured before is that it was, first of all, like I just have soft tissue.
Yeah.
But second of all, it was like, if you don't know anything about boobs, this is a thing too that like for a while bra
roots
fitting
versus,
was like my special interest. And so I know about myself that the attachment point for my breast tissue to my chest wall is relatively narrow.
Yes.
The way that I explained it to somebody in the Discord about like bra fittings is that it's like the difference between placing a wine glass against a flat surface or a champagne flute, right? They might hold a similar or like, you know, if they did hold the same volume, one is going to stick out from your body a lot more and require a lot more support. So I had like champagne flute boobs, basically, that like it once you like hoist the tissue up into a bra, it like projects out from your body really far and needs a lot of support,
of
which
course.
Is like obviously part of why I was in so much pain.
Yes.
So I expressed that like I don't want that, Right?
No, yeah. Like,
I don't want that. And so they used a mesh. I can't remember what it's called. I'll put a picture of it on the screen.
Okay.
That they put inside of your breast tissue.
It's kind of nuts when you think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. He described it as like being
chicken wire almost. Or like.
It's like this. I mean, it's body friendly, obviously.
Yeah, it's not actually chicken wire, to be clear. No. But it like the same like kind of like.
Yeah.
Like honeycomb.
He explained that basically it's like an internal bra for your tissue.
Yeah.
That your skin will form scar tissue over the mesh. And the mesh will eventually dissolve.
Yes.
But then you have this like network of scar tissue that's left where the mesh was. And so that helps to like keep your tissue like more supported.
Yeah.
So they did that. And then they also like liposuctioned my armpits because I had breast tissue like all the way back here. Yeah. So they sucked all of that out, which is also why in the picture that we just showed you, there's like a big bucket of blood because that's all of the fat and the blood and like tissue that they suctioned out of my fucking armpits.
Yeah.
So that was like,
it's kind of gnarly, you know, when you think about like just how much like stuff is inside there. Yeah.
Yes. And also like why I was in so much pain.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Because after the anesthesia wore off and like the initial shock of everything.
Oh yeah. Your scars were long. Yeah.
It was. Yeah. So this was the other thing that like was hard to explain. We'll show you guys a picture of my scars. Maybe we can do like a before and after moment that like I have incision scars all the way from back here to the middle of my chest. And then there's a second one, like right next to that one, that like goes all the way around.
It's like a W almost.
Yeah, I have like a W-shaped incision, and then I have vertical ones up each breast, and then circular ones around each nipple. So like all in, I had like probably several feet of incisions that I was trying to heal.
Like probably like 60% of your torso.
Yeah, they like bisected my chest wall basically.
Also, we forgot our. Plaster.
Oh, our cast.
We'll bring them for the next episode.
Yeah, we can show you pictures of them too. But I made a cast of my boobs before surgery, just to like memorialize them. And then we had leftover plaster, and I was like, "Can I cast your butt cheeks?"
And I said, "Of course."
So we did.
As any good partner would do.
And now I really want to hang them on the wall.
I know, we
need to. Our house. I feel like that would be such a vibe.
We will.
Okay. But yeah, so I mean, that was like the actual surgery itself. And then the healing was...
You were on so many painkillers. I think we were taking... The peak of it, we had like... Because we were taking medicine every 4 hours. And I think it was like 4 pills every 4 hours of different things.
Yeah.
And multivitamins and bromelain and like other medical name things that I'm not going to even try to pronounce.
Yeah. They had me on... like narcotics, obviously, like a narcotic painkiller. They also had me on high dose acetaminophen and an
inflammatory.
Well, it was like an anti-hemorrhaging thing. It was one that you only had to take like 3 pills of or something.
And your drains were still in at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. The drains. We can talk about the drains in a second.
I think we should. Yeah.
We do have pictures of the drains.
Yeah. Those are gnarly.
Drains are gnarly. But yeah. And then they also had me on like bromelain to help with swelling and a multivitamin and this like drink, this like nutrient drink that was called Juven.
Yeah, Juven.
We started calling it Juven as a joke.
Okay, I said, how do you know it's not Spanish?
Yeah, or like Swedish. So I was taking that also. Yeah. And like all, like antibiotics, like all of this stuff.
Just so many things. And you're on a high protein diet.
Oh my God, I can't believe we forgot to talk about that.
You have to eat so much food.
Oh, there was really nothing that like drove home the point for me that my ADHD really gets in my way of being able to feed myself.
Yeah.
Like having to log how many grams of protein I was eating in a day.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be eating between 70 and 100 grams of protein every single day.
It's and exhausting. You did.
For like 5 months probably. Because I was doing it for a month pre-surgery.
Yeah.
And then all the way up until like we were basically done with this.
I think needless to say that is the best fed we have ever been because we were actually like making full meals.
The time. Yeah. But also too, like the amount of meat and dairy that I was consuming.
So much cheese.
I felt like I was on a bulk diet.
Oh, yes.
Because I was just fucking constantly eating.
Yeah, which is,
but also, too, it would be like, I don't want to eat this. Like, I'm not hungry. And I'm just like shoving, like, you know, a high protein bagel and cream cheese in my mouth because, like, I have to meet my protein count for today.
But can we also talk about, too, the like juxtaposition of like, okay, so thin people recover from surgery better, but then prior to surgery, you need to be eating. so much food
yes.
to be yes. Storing in your body to yes. help prep it for this surgery. Yes. So like then in theory, wouldn't fat people be more apt to recover from surgery then?
Because yes, this is why.
In theory, like, they're eating
it's,
more.
It, well, and it's also, it's like demonstrated in the research that when you have like calories to burn.
Taken care of.
Yes, when your body is like well nourished, then you recover from like injury
trauma
and surgery
body,
more
yeah.
effectively because yes. you're not like, you know, pulling calories from like necessary functions of yes. your body.
Just funny how that works.
I know. But also too, such a green flag about our surgeon's office, because one of the surgeon's office that I called previously told me yeah. to go on a diet before surgery. Which, like,
yeah.
so
that doesn't
much
make,
more.
That doesn't make any sense. Like, why would you like denourish your body?
Literally.
To...
Why would being malnourished be a good choice for my body, like, before a huge surgery?
Makes no fucking sense.
Hello?
Honestly, too, I don't think really at the time I definitely was not prepared for how much hands-on...
Yeah.
Handsing on I would be doing yeah. for your recovery. Like, uh-huh. I knew obviously taking care of you, of course.
No, of course. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the surgery recovery for me is sort of broken into two parts, which was, like, the normal stuff that everybody does.
Yes.
And then the, like, complications
you basically
that
had a
happened
week.
Later.
Yes. So
yeah.
I think let's get into the normal stuff first.
Yeah.
So essentially the first week, so you had tubes in.
Yeah.
And I think those were the most surprising and fun.
Yeah.
So
the drains were scary.
Yeah, so basically they're just two little, like, think of, like, the nose, the...
Yeah, the little bulbs at the end.
Yeah, so they're just little bulbs, and then obviously when you squeeze them, they create suction because they want to open up, and so there are these tubes that were attached inside
yeah.
of your breast tissue.
Yeah, they were anchored, like, right here.
Yeah, and so basically it's just sucking out, and not quick, like, this is not happening quickly, obviously.
No.
But
it's more so, like, draining, like, dripping
yeah,
very
and just
slowly.
Yeah, like, what's it called? Just like plasma and that sort of, like,
yes, there's
blood
definitely
and
blood
leftover.
And like there was little bits of fat that were left
yes.
over from the lipo
yeah.
and all of that.
The issue though with the tubes is that as they're suctioning things out, things can get stuck inside of the drain tubes,
especially if you had lipo like I did
yes.
and that there's like little bits
like
of like fat and viscera or like little tiny like clotted
unknown
yeah little
yes.
bits of blood and all of that.
So that was our first issue, not issue, but like thing we had to figure out was how to unclog them. So basically
you have to strip the drains basically.
Yeah. So basically to strip the drains, just for anyone that's curious or does go through for it,
yeah,
alcohol, get buy just a pack of
alcohol prep pads.
Yeah, the prep pads.
Yeah,
because then you can take it and you take the drain tube and you squeeze it up here, because that was the other thing too, you're very sensitive to them because they're obviously inside of your body.
Yes. Yeah. So you don't want to yank at them.
So you want to pinch the top of the drain tube.
Yeah.
And then you're
going to
take the alcohol pad and you're going to squeeze the tube, but make sure you keep tension up here.
Yeah.
And then the thing we figured out too is just sucked, because like sometimes you would have to hold it up here and then squeeze
uh-huh.
and then do this.
Yes. And
so
then
that,
squeeze,
like,
so you can get it down into
down,
the bulb.
Or else it'll shoot back up.
Yes. Which is obviously not
oh
good.
Oh God. Also too, that one time.
That you
because
dropped.
we had to measure the amount of drainage that Mickey was having.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I dropped the fucking drain tube and it got all over my foot.
Well, you dropped like
the
cup. Yeah,
oh,
you didn't
yeah.
drop the tube, because also too, it's very important that your drains remain sterile.
Yes.
So there's a little
it.
Yes, there's
yeah.
a little like stopper on the end of the bulb that you undo and
yes.
you like whoop, you just pour all of this
yeah.
fluid that's collected over
it's
the course
satisfying.
Of 8 hours
yeah.
into a little measuring cup. And you're supposed to smell it to make sure that it doesn't smell like
infected.
Foul or gross. Yeah,
yeah.
To make sure you're not getting an infection. And then you measure it and record it so that you
yeah.
can, because I was texting my surgeon's office updates about like our drainage output just to
yeah.
make sure that like things are progressing normally. You shouldn't be draining like too much, but also if you're not draining anything, then
yes.
that's like, you know, especially initially. But you were holding.
Also, bear in mind, I'm squeamish.
I know.
I think we talked about this already. Like, I don't
yeah.
do well with blood.
No.
Like, at
no.
all. Or guts,
you have
really.
Almost fainted before when you just cut your finger open. So,
it was a good cut, to be clear.
No, it was. And it was scary for sure.
But like, so brave little toaster.
Yes. But also, too, you were such a champ about this whole thing, because I normally am not very squeamish, but for some reason this, and I think also because like it was my own,
oh,
I
totally.
Had a much harder time.
Yeah.
Oh, with,
this is like,
all
going to come into play later.
Like seeing the blood and like the stuff, it was a lot harder for me.
Yeah.
Because
also too, I didn't want you to have to be doing any of this on your own.
No, yeah. But like I was anticipating that I would be fine and you would be
yeah.
great. And like I did way worse with managing my own like squeamishness.
I would
than
say worse,
were...
but like it's hard to just have it be your own stuff. I
no,
think.
No, definitely.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying like I feel like you get like big ups
oh,
for being so brave. Because also too, there was like more than one occasion where you would like hold my hand and like be
oh, yeah, of course,
there
of course.
For me, you know, while
yeah.
even though it would like it was sort of squeamish. squeaky for you too.
Oh, so. Yeah. It was stressful. I mean, the stressful part came later for sure. But yeah. As with all things, we got through it.
Yes.
So that was the first week. Yes. Honestly, the first week was pretty chill, other than you being uncomfortable sleeping. Not chill, but like...
Okay, so there's a couple of things.
Yeah.
First of all, if you are going to get a breast reduction, or like, I don't know if you get drains with top surgery or anything like that.
Oh.
But if you're having a surgery where you get drains... Go buy pajamas that are button up that also have pockets inside
God
of them.
Bless,
there's
God
so
bless.
Many products. A lot of the products are geared towards like breast cancer survivor and like reduction or not reduction, reconstruction surgery. So like Google all of those things and buy pajamas that will be comfy and soft and also that have pockets and clips.
Pockets
because
and clips.
The thing that irritated me the most about the drains was them just being all
they're long,
over
they're
everywhere.
Long. They're probably about like...
Yes. And they're like thick plastic. So
it's
you
not
can't
gonna break,
like...
But...
Well, because they don't want the tube to kink.
Of course.
So the tube is just like... billowing out from the sides of you.
Oh, and that shit gets stuck to your skin so fucking quick.
And like, there was one time that like, I still had the drains in, but I felt good. So I was trying to be in the kitchen with you and like, you know, oh, do you want me to like put some salt on this? And my tube got stuck on the handle of one of our cabinets and like yanked. And I was like, it was like, that was awful. And I'm fucking out of here. I'm going
to punch a hole through the refrigerator.
I was so.
If you were any stronger, something would have.
Oh my God.
If you were a lesser person.
It hurt, but it was also really scary.
Oh yeah. That's like getting your pocket caught on it times a bajillion.
Yes. And so, yeah, I was like, fuck this. I'm going to go sit down. Like,
I
clearly
said, yeah,
I'm
like,
not
you don't
meant
need to be in the kitchen.
But yeah, so definitely get pajamas that have pockets or like little clippies. And also for being in the shower, they sell lanyards that will hold your drains for you. That was also very helpful. We just made one like a little,
you
think
I
tied a shoelace.
Or I would just sit there and hold it for you.
But having like something to hold your tubes and like keep them out of the way
is like function.
Life changing.
Yeah.
Because I had the drains in for a week and by the time we went to get them removed, I was like,
And they said those could be in there for 30 days.
No.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Did they say 30 days?
Well, I think they can be in there for that long, they said.
Really?
Or it's like it was a lot longer. I just remember it being a lot longer.
I thought it was going to be like less than that. I thought they told us they could take them out as soon as 3 days.
No, they could, but they could stay in there.
Oh.
Yeah, because they told us like they could be in there for a while. Like they have the capability of
being
in there.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, can you
Jesus.
Imagine having them for that long?
No. Oh. I would have cried and cried and cried. Which also, I mean, that's another part that I feel like is important to be honest about.
Crying.
Which is that I cried a lot.
And
not
totally
because
fair.
I was in pain necessarily, but just because the whole thing was so frustrating.
I know.
To
you
like,
don't do well.
Well, and like I just felt like I had lost so much agency over my body.
Yeah.
You know? Which we've talked about in the other episode was obviously like a button in having like so much breast tissue that I couldn't function.
Of course.
So then like post-op, like
going right
I couldn't
to...
lift my arms above here.
That's even generous there because that took a while to get there.
Yeah. We had many a meltdown about
your hair,
me not being able to do my own hair.
We definitely learned that your hair is definitely a bigger it's important.
It's important to me.
Yeah.
I think it's also just that thing when like you don't feel like yourself and then like there's this like seemingly easy thing that you can do to make yourself feel better, but like you can't. It was like I was
away
just
from you.
So close, but I couldn't.
I know, you just wanted to put it up in a ponytail and I did my best, but like I can kind of do French braids now.
Yes, you can. You can braid now, which is good.
But yeah, the hair.
But trying to put my hair in a millennial bun for some reason was like really not like we were having a hard time communicating about it.
Particular,
yes,
about the way
no, definitely
you want it done.
Yeah,
and I feel like you settled with it, but I feel like there's no world where I could do it in a way that felt good to you.
That's not true.
I don't know.
We got better with the braids and stuff. I was happy with how you braided my hair. I think it's just hard having your hair be like imagine if I combed your hair,
it wouldn't feel right.
But like if I had combed it like to the side instead of like. To the side and back a little bit like yours is. And then I was like, what are you talking about? That's the same.
It's not the same.
And you'd be like, no, it's not. And I'm like, no, it is though.
Well,
it's like such
I hear your point.
It's a feeling thing.
It is a feeling thing.
That's like
thing.
Hard
I get
to
it.
Quantify.
No, I totally get it. I
you know?
Totally get it. Yeah.
But yeah, so we had many a meltdown about that just because it's like,
it's hard,
you know?
Yeah.
After we got the drains out, there was more so just like, okay, I'm ready to be done with this. Actually, you know what? I just remembered that changing my bras initially was really difficult.
Oh yeah, because we had to keep gauze on everything. And so if you got, I ran our CVS by our house out of gauze.
Yeah.
So many times.
So many times.
Because your wounds were so long.
Yeah.
We couldn't do like, so you had like square ones, we had like rectangle ones.
Yes.
And we got it down. We got the system
we
down
eventually.
We ended
up having a system.
So basically bought two long ones.
Yeah. But they were like surgical pads. It was like
two surgical pads to go on your side to soak up and for padding, obviously.
Yes. With
also, we did not realize how bumpy the roads are here. Like, we know the roads in Tucson suck. Like, that's the fucking thing.
Yeah. It's like a meme at this point.
It's what it is.
Sure.
But like driving became such a, especially it's to the stressful. Doctor's office is far,
so far,
far away.
Yeah. And it's so like I would be in the car just like,
oh,
holding
God,
on to my boobs.
Over. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we would do the gauze to make sure it was as comfortable for you as possible.
Yeah.
And thank God we had the bras that opened up in the front and the back and the sides.
Yes. Yes.
So essentially I would have to, we would do one side at a time and we would put one big gauze.
Yes.
One big gauze and we would get your shoulder over.
Yes.
Oh, and they detached at the shoulders too.
Yeah. They also like Velcro.
So you'd like hold it down and we had another one under.
Yeah.
And then one going up.
Yeah.
And then one on your nipple.
Yeah.
So basically we had like five pieces of gauze
on one
per
boob.
Side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I would like hold the gauze because also too, like both of us would have to like wash our hands. We were washing our hands obsessively for
my
weeks.
My hands were roasted.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never used
so
much lotion on my hands before.
We
my
would,
life.
I mean, and like I'm half naked. So I'm like holding this over here and then you would stretch the bra and like pull it.
Because it has to be tight. It's a compression bra. It's not like a fucking loose fitting.
Exactly. So you would like pull it and I would like hold the waistband. You would pull it and then we would like cover one side and then I would hold this with one hand and then with like my little claw hand over here try to hold the other pieces of gauze so that you could stretch the other part of the bra and then like try to like the Velcro bits together in the middle.
Yes.
Eventually we did get a pretty good system down.
But it did
but
not,
like,
it took
truly,
weeks.
Can we also talk about the fact that like, I don't know how anybody could fucking do that by themselves.
No.
If you hadn't been there, I would have been like on the floor crying. Just like, I don't know what to do.
Like, I'm just not wearing a bra. Like,
I don't know how to fix
this. Not to wear a bra.
Yes. Well, you have to because it's like literally dangerous. Your incisions can separate and rip open without a compression bra on. So like,
no.
I don't know. Like it would have been impossible for me to do by myself.
Yeah.
Big ups. Thanks for helping.
Oh, you're so welcome. Also, I don't think you realize how much your chest muscles like affect everything.
Do everything.
Yeah. Like abs were bad, but.
Yeah.
Like having your abs be like from
your
gallbladder.
And then like those first couple of days, we had to pull the stepladder into our bedroom so that I could
get on the bed.
Bed.
Of course, the one that we made, our bed is tall as fuck.
Yeah. So because I couldn't lift myself into the bed and I can't like move any, even be jiggling anything around. So I was like
everything
roboting
was, like,
myself.
Also to the restless sleeping because you had to sleep up.
Oh God. Yeah.
I wish we had the new couch at that time.
Also, for real, if you are having a surgery with your chest that you're going to have to sleep upright, buy a fucking wedge pillow. Buy a wedge pillow.
Yeah.
That is my greatest regret.
Because those poor pillows never, like, just...
It was not good. And by the time that I had, like, had it and was like, this is not working, it was like,
too
it's
late.
Too late.
It's too late.
Yeah. That, like, we would have had a wedge pillow for, like, a week, you know, which is, like, silly. And to your credit, you were like, who cares? Like, buy one. But I was like, no, that feels like a waste. So we didn't end up buying one, but definitely buy a wedge pillow.
For sure.
Because it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
It just is really hard to get comfortable.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing too. You're like resting all the time. So you're not like really ever like getting sleep per se.
Yeah.
So after a couple of weeks, just like exhausted and tired.
Well, and your ass hurts too.
Oh.
My fucking tailbone hurts so bad.
I've never.
Because you're just sitting all the time. Like being reclined and like. This position like all the time is so fucking uncomfortable.
Oh, I forgot.
It hurts your fucking butt cheeks.
One of the cats got mad because we switched up the living room and so we had our two recliners situated and set up. But for whatever fucking reason, one of the times we left, one of the cats pissed on the chair, on my chair, or your chair. I can't remember.
Mine.
And that bitch was never the same again.
No.
Also, too,
we had to get rid of it.
Just for the sake, for the laughs, for the gags.
Yeah.
One of the days. So I think cat peed in the chair. We cleaned it to our best. And I'm like, this thing just still smells like piss. I don't know if you've ever dealt with cat piss. Like,
it's so hard to remove.
It just fucking doesn't go
away.
And
like, yes, we did use Nature's Miracle. Yes, we use like...
We bought new stuff for it. Like
enzyme cleaners. Like it did not help.
We are very familiar with cleaning cat piss.
Our cats have issues with this. They've had issues in the past. And like, we've been around the block and nothing works. It really does not.
And so this chair just smells like piss still. So I'm like, fuck it. We did the little green, the little Bissell cleaner. So I spent probably 45 minutes just vaporizing this chair with soap and water and scrubbing it and scrubbing it. Like the fucking bristles on our Bissell are just like, look like a person
a man's
who's
toothbrush.
Yes. Like never replaced and been using that shit for 5 years.
Literally.
And I go, I don't know why.
It's because
I go to take off the cleat. Because the Bissell, the way it works is one side you lift up, you like drop it on there, yeah. The soap part.
Yeah.
But then the other part, you.
One part, the opening's on the bottom, and yeah. The other side, the opening's on the top.
Yeah.
The dirty water has the opening on the top so that you yep. Can dump it into
and
the
I
toilet.
I don't know why. I don't know what happened. I was like, oh, don't spill this. So I tipped over the dirty, disgusting piss water. And I tipped it over, and of course I tipped it over into the other way of our other couch, which we no longer have because we gave up on the fucking piss smell. And I said, here we fucking go. I guess I'm... So not only now do I have... Because that's the thing, too, with the cat piss. Once it gets on something, they get fucking weird about it. So now the couch, the recliner I just spent 45 minutes cleaning has dirty piss water on it again. The floor has piss water on it. And
you
the
have
couch,
piss water
I
on
I have
you.
Piss water on me.
And the couch does,
and
too.
So everything just smells like clean piss water. And Mickey's just sitting in the recliner, and you just look at me, don't even say anything.
You just like...
Because at this point now, the vacuum's been on, too, for an hour.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
Which was low-key kind of soothing. I won't even lie.
Fair. The white noise is kind of nice.
And also, at this point, I was still, like, on narcotics. So I was, like, sleeping in and out while you were doing this. And then I had my eyes closed, mm-hmm. And I heard the water splash, and you went, fuck! And I was like... I felt so bad because I'm normally the one who will clean up after the cats because like they're my cats and they are the way that they are. But like you take care of like the dog poop and like you do the litter box a lot.
Yeah.
So I try really hard to like when, especially when the pets like fuck shit up, like I'm aware that it's my fault. It's because I'm a selfish pet owner and I made them this way.
I don't hold it against you, to be clear.
No, I know, but I do try to like take care of stuff like that. And so I felt so bad that I couldn't do this.
But it wasn't your fault.
But then you like dropped it and I was like,
we're like sleep deprived and just tired and cranky.
I know. Also of note too, is that Aaron is like never angry. Like I think I've seen you actually angry, like, 3 times in our whole life probably, and that was definitely one of them. And so when you're actually angry, it's like it's a little scary.
It's not my favorite. I don't like this. Like,
oh, he's like actually mad. Like there's
also,
a lot
I was, like,
of stuff.
So mad at myself.
I know.
I'm like, why did I flip this over? Why did I flip this over? Like we were good. We were good to go. Like I was done.
Know.
I was done with the job.
Pumpkin.
I
felt so bad.
I have never felt such anger and defeat. At the same time, but also too, like, just mad at myself because I can't be mad. Like, I'm obviously mad at the cats because they pissed
fault.
In the first place.
Yeah.
But, like, they didn't do it. Doing it maliciously. They just don't like when we messed up their nighttime routine.
I was
going to
say, the problem is that their nighttime routine, because I know which cat it is. It's Imogen. And it's because she's my baby. Like, she was the first pet that we ever got. She's very attached to me.
Yeah.
And so, our nighttime routine, I'll, like, pick her up and, like, we were doing cat enrichment, is what I call
but
it.
But obviously, you can do that after your surgery.
Yeah, I would pick her up and I would just let her smell things or look at things that are too high for her to normally see. She really liked it. So I'd be like, Mimi, come here. And then, we would do that. But obviously after surgery, I couldn't do that. And I wasn't sleeping normally. I think I was sleeping on the recliner for the first little while, right? Or was I in the bedroom?
We tried everything.
I don't remember.
I don't even know.
But so her nighttime routine got all fucked up. And because she was stressed, she peed in the place where my scent was strongest, which was the recliner, to try to soothe herself.
Yeah.
And so it's not like her being vindictive.
No.
She just like... She was
doing
it self.
I know.
But it's so annoying.
It just sucks that she self-regulates in a way that directly affects us in the most negative way possible.
That also ruins our furniture.
Yeah, because I remember us sitting in that chair too and being like, does this smell like we're very highly sensitive to cat piss. And I'm like, no.
Like, I was like, this is stinky. Because I sat down in the chair. I had to change my pajamas after that too. Because I was like.
Like, this is not right. Like,
this smells
is not
weird. And then I got up and you sniffed the chair and you were like. God damn it. So we had to fix it.
Yeah.
It was a whole thing.
But
so that also happened.
That also happened.
During our surgery recovery.
I don't remember exactly what part that was. I think it was after drains.
No, I still had drains at that point. I still had drains for sure. Because it was in the first couple of days that she did that.
Oh, man.
So.
You're right. You're so right. It was early on.
So we were doing all of that. And I was having meltdowns about my hair. And we're trying to put this bra on me, which was also a little bit painful for those first few days.
Yeah.
After we got the drains taken out, I feel like things.
Quality of life went up.
Took a turn. Things got better.
Yep.
At that point, we were just doing gauze twice a day and like changing my bra. I was showering every day. Mm. and like, you know, obviously keeping things clean.
I think too, I definitely have way more of an appreciation for people who have to actively take care of their partners.
Like for people who are chronically ill, people who are disabled.
Like, that, like it's a lot. Like to be a primary caretaker,
it's hard.
It's a lot. Like total, I have a new, like I already had respect for those people in the first place.
No, but of course, yeah.
It's an absolute.
Like full-time care is really taxing.
Also too, I really like during that time too, I'm like, I am not fit. Like, I don't think I have the capacity to take care of a child.
No.
Every day. Like, not that I'm even a selfish person and like I could do it, but like,
sure.
There is just like a sense of resentment that grows over time because it was nothing you had done wrong and I was happy to help you.
No, of course.
But it's just like you like lose, like you can't do the things you want to do or you can't like, oh, I'm just going
to
go.
Well, your whole life gets structured around having to take care of someone else, which is hard.
Yeah. You know? And I don't think people really.
Also, you especially are like, sensitive to sleep deprivation.
Oh, I do not do. If it's I'm not sleeping well, I do not like everything else just crumbles. So
yeah,
I
can manage being sleep deprived pretty okay, but being sleep deprived for you is like really a button.
Especially after like I become depressed really fast without sleep. Like
it fucks with your mood a lot. Yeah,
I think too if I like the factors that like normally keep me like regulated and stuff.
Yes.
Because we were just like, our schedules were all over the place.
All wrong. And, you weren't like, sleeping. I wasn't sleeping.
I think it was probably, not that it was necessarily your fault or anything too, but just like, I just don't, like my body just does not respond well. And I like, it was.
Yeah, I know. You were having a hard time with the sleep stuff. Yeah,
I can't imagine.
It's also hard to like, for people who are disabled or chronically ill and that like having to ask for care or like needing care, it's the worst feeling because you're just
so
like I would do this for myself if I could, but I can't. And it's like infantilizing and frustrating.
Well, it's everything you hate. Those are all are all the buttons.
Especially when it's somebody that you love who's taking care of you and you can see that they're like running on empty. It's so hard not to be like, it's okay. Like I'll fix it. I'll take care of it. But like I can't, you know, it's like, it was just all bad.
It's
there
like
for
very much
a
like two of our buttons too. I think that like things that we've struggled with in the past.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah. Definitely that.
Like definitely like came to the front again. And I'm really proud of us.
Me too.
Because ultimately we got out of it pretty unscathed.
Yeah. I mean, we did really well. I feel like also too, having like regular check-ins with our couples therapist helped a lot.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Because we were able to talk about like, you know, what we were working through and all of our own stuff. So that made a big difference. Just, I think also to have somebody validate that like, no, like you're not a bad person. You're not shitty. And like, this is not a sign that your marriage has been deeply flawed from the outset. Yes. Like this is hard. Yeah. You're having
this is a hard recovery.
A hard time with a hard thing. And that's very normal. Yeah. You know, that was like nice validation.
Too, yeah. Cause it definitely goes from like, oh, it's so fun and cutesy to taking care of you. And like, oh, I got you. And then after like two or three months.
Yeah.
It was like, fuck. Like,
yeah. Especially like the blood and guts aspect of it was difficult.
Yeah. Cause I feel like that was the thing too. We were just like doing, I think, especially too, once we get into the second half of healing. Yeah. I think that was pretty much the like general gist day to day.
Yeah. The once my incisions fully closed and then once I got
showering.
Once I got my stitches out.
Yes.
Because I had internal and dissolvable sutures in like the second and third layers of skin, but I had external sutures that would need to be removed around my nipples.
Would
and
you
so
say we're probably putting pictures up in this moment?
I would think so. Yeah. I'm going to, obviously I'm going to blur my nipples because first of all, those are for me. But second of all, YouTube will take the content down.
Yeah, of course.
But I'm going to do my best to show you guys like what the incisions actually looked like. I'll show you the ones with sutures.
The doctor
now.
Went off though. On your,
I know. Like, that's why I was like, I think we should do it before and after too, because my
those little scar, like he,
they're
ate.
Very faint. Yeah. I know. He did such a good job, and my incisions are clean.
Oh my
like,
god!
Like there's no like
there's no
wavering or like they're straight and clean and very small.
That
like
that
especially
man knows.
The vertical ones. They used these little plasticky clamp things.
Crazy. Yeah, they're like.
Justin was telling me that he had looked at like emerging research about their use in minimizing vertical scars.
Yeah.
And he used those, and those were
he's like, let's just try them.
Yeah, those were on there for weeks before they fell off.
Yeah.
But my vertical incisions are like almost
non-existent.
Yeah, you can't really even see them.
Yeah, they essentially just pinch the skin together.
Yeah.
And keep it just held
together.
Well,
it's like, they don't pinch it. It's
not
like,
pinch, but like they're creating pressure.
Yeah. It just helps to like hold everything together so that your skin can kind of stitch itself back together.
So would you say like a pinching motion? Like
I'm just saying it's not like pinching, like it didn't hurt.
I'm just giving you a hard time because essentially we're saying the same thing.
But pinch evokes a certain imagery.
That's fair. That's true. That's true.
The other thing about my like normal recovery that I'm really thankful for is that oftentimes people will have a difficulty with the Y incision at the bottom.
Oh, it makes so much sense.
Where the horizontal incision on your rib cage meets the vertical incision on your actual breast tissue. There's like a Y joint that kind of happens. Yeah. And that's usually the place that people's incisions will take and rip open because there's a lot of pressure
and also
on that area.
It's not like a simple
but especially like if you are going to get a reduction, again, I don't know if this affects top surgery because I think those incisions are different.
Okay.
But if you're going to get a breast reduction, be very mindful of not putting your hands too high because that's the thing that will rip it's those like open.
Yeah,
you have to be super, super careful to just like let everything B. Those little clampies did help a lot with the Y incision
I
think.
Without a doubt.
We had like the smallest amount of like the incision opening that we ended up having to do packing gauze for.
Oh God, that seems like child's play.
I know.
Yeah.
But like that is a thing that can happen. So basically the way that it works, we can show you a picture of it now. Yeah. That little incision started to open. And so in order to keep it clean and like safe, what you have to do is put sterile packing gauze in there to fill the little void, not to like expand it, but just to take up the space so that first of all, you're not getting bacteria and like, you know, gooky stuff in there. But second of all, so that the skin can heal from the inside out.
Yeah, I learned so much about how also the body healing is incredible. Absolutely
wild.
Absolutely amazing.
I always thought that like looking at these, like when people make movies about like post-apocalyptic or like they get injured and somebody would just like shove something inside of a gunshot wound or whatever, I'd always be like, that's so unrealistic. Nobody's body could ever heal like that without like a doctor. And like, it can.
It'll push.
It can.
Yeah. And it's
as long as you
just, like,
fill that
with
something sterile and you keep it clean and dry and safe, then that skin, it heals from the inside out and it like gradually pushes it out.
Yeah. If you can picture like a window, like a window, and then like it covers from the, it's so incredible.
So you
watch
the skin like this, like, you know, I guess it's like your dermis. This
we'll
like
put pictures up
white,
if we have,
pinkish like, skin underneath. It's like super smooth. That heals forward, and then it becomes like superficial and your regular skin just like stitches over top of it. It's wild, man. It's so cool.
I feel like we learned so much about, or I did at least for sure.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so that was the little one.
Yeah.
Do you
so
wanna...
that ended up happening. We had to pack that for, I think, less than a week. Probably.
Oh, it was child's
play. From one
and
appointment
I would say
to the
packing
next.
So loosely because really we were just like
boop, boop, boop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there was.
With the, because they gave us a little suture kit and like tweezers and all the sterile stuff. And you were basically just like really carefully just poking like the end of packing gauze in there. And then from one appointment to the next. So one appointment, we discovered that we had this opening. And then a week went by. At our next appointment, he was like, you can stop packing it. It's superficial.
It,
you're
fine,
good.
It's good.
Yeah. After we got through that, the rest of the healing was pretty uneventful. We were like, you know, putting scar cream and Aquaphor and just like keeping it covered until
business
I felt comfortable
usual.
To take the gauze.
Yeah.
Off and then I could start wearing regular bralettes.
About maybe getting to buy new bras for Christmas, I think.
Yes,
it was right before Christmas.
Yeah.
We're talking about it was the week before Christmas, actually, just about 2 weeks ish.
Yeah,
we were talking about you might be able to get some new bras for Christmas or for the new year.
Yeah,
and then
the Fire Nations attacked.
I remember specifically of the Fire Nations is you were showering, and we were having a big giant blow up fight. I don't remember about what, so I left to go to the store.
I think it was about my hair.
It probably was about your hair because you were in the shower and you were like, you're like essentially.
My feelings were just really hurt.
Yeah. And you're essentially we needed some space real quick. So I just left.
Yeah. So we were just trying to talk through like what was going on. And I was like, I just need a minute.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Well, I don't think we left on good terms at that point because I went to the store.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think we needed more gauze, so you went and got gauze or something.
So I can't remember, but I didn't go and get gauze happily.
Mm-hmm.
And so I come back, and we're like still kind of like
beefing
picking
a little.
At each other. Yeah. Sorry, I got thirsty.
No, you're fine. So you came back.
Yeah, so I came back from the store, and we were in there, and we're still kind of fighting. And I just remember you saying like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Or...
I freaked the fuck out.
Yeah, I don't... It was like bloody murder, like...
Yeah, because... Okay, so here's... Let's back up a little bit.
Oh, we need to back
up. Let's rewind.
Right.
After my regular healing had kind of concluded, I had an appointment that like my surgeon and the staff and everybody was like, you're good.
Yeah.
Like you're fine. I remember specifically the person that I talked about earlier that like love her. She's the best. I was like, am I allowed to like sleep on my stomach and all of that? And she was like, girl, you're fully healed. You can do whatever you want. Like you're allowed to exercise again.
Cause you even waited longer than you even needed to.
She was like, you can sleep on your stomach again. Like everything looks like it's healed. Back Everything's good. Like nothing's going to rip open. You're fine. You know, she's like, be gentle. Like, you know, if it hurts or things like feel weird, then obviously take it a step back and take it slow. But like, she was like, you're healed. So I had that appointment. I called you. You could have
been
going to
work at this point. If you had had like a normal 9 to 5, you would have well been at work by now.
And so I was like celebrating and very excited about that. And then a week went by and I noticed this little bump starting to form on my left breast.
Yes.
That I was like, huh.
That's super weird.
That's really weird. That's never a phrase that anybody wants to hear, you know, like lump on the breast. So I was like, that's a little weird and concerning. What's that about? So I kept an eye on it and I was like, I don't know, maybe it's just swelling.
We'll put pictures up as we go.
Yes, we were taking pictures of everything just like for my own to like, you know, keep track of the healing process. And also just, you know, in case we needed to send anything to the doctor. So we're taking pictures and this little, it felt like it was filled with fluid. It didn't feel hard. It wasn't like crunchy. Yeah. There wasn't anything in it. I could just feel that it was like swollen. It felt like a pimple almost.
It really was one of those things too. Like unless something had, like there was nothing.
Yes. So I eventually, after a few days when I was like, okay, it's obvious that it's not just like my brain playing tricks on me. Yeah. There is a thing there. I took a picture and sent it to the doctor's office and they said, a thing that happens sometimes at about your point of recovery is something called a spitting stitch, which is where your internal sutures might not have dissolved quite as effectively as we'd like. And so your body tries to deal with it like it would a splinter by like pushing it out, right? And so they were like, you might have a little bit of swelling. You might have a very small amount of weeping as this stitch gets pushed out. Keep an eye on it. If it hurts, you know, obviously if you have signs of infection or anything bad happens, send us another picture. Let us know. I was like, okay. So a week went by and it just kept getting worse.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think this is, I don't know. I was like, something about this, like, I just feel weird about it, you know? So I took another picture and sent it to them and they were like, looks weird. Like you should come in.
Yes.
And so I had an appointment for Friday that week. And then on Thursday, we have our little fight. You go to get gauze. You come back. I'm in the shower. Yep. It was like swollen and huge and really scary. And I could see that the skin on the outside was starting to thin. I could feel that like something weird is happening here. They also told me in the initial part of this, like it might just be swelling because I had it. Oh, we forgot to talk about that. This boob, my right boob, had swelling. This boob was like swelling more than it should have been. And I was terrified that it was going to rip my sutures open.
Yeah.
And so we ended up having more frequent appointments for that. And they were like, it's just lymphatic fluid. Your right boob
was the superstar.
Well, they were like, this is just lymphatic fluid. Like, it's fine.
The way the nerves work or the
which
like,
we
the
figured
tubes.
Out later. Yeah. Yes. That it's just because this boob probably has more lymphatic like drainage in it. Yeah. And that's why this boob now is the only one that swells on my period and this one does not.
You can sense the weather.
Yeah, literally. I was talking about that on streaming the other day. You're like Karen Smith. But so that had happened and they were like, it might just be what was happening with your other boob. Yeah. Like it might just be lymph fluid or swelling or whatever. Try massaging it. Try like moving that fluid around to see if you can encourage it to drain. Because on this boob with the swelling, I was able to like push the fluid into my armpit, which is where one of your lymph nodes is in case you didn't know. And then my boob, the swelling would get better.
Yeah.
Like it would drain and go away. So they were like, try doing that. So I was like, okay. So I tried doing that. And as I was like pushing on this, I could feel like a cavity underneath it. There was like a hole.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, like this is so bad. I'm telling you, like it doesn't feel right. And they were like, well, you know, it is normal to have like blah, blah, blah. And I was like, just trust me on this. It's fucked. Like there's something bad happening here.
Yeah.
So they were like, okay, yeah, it looks weird. If it feels weird, like come in, we'll see you on Friday.
Yes.
Thursday at this point, it's purple and I can feel the skin thinning and I can still feel this hole under there. I'm in the shower. I haven't even touched it at this point.
You had to go somewhere that day too. I can't remember what it was.
A date. I had a date.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm getting showered and all this stuff and it like burst open. The skin just like ripped and there,
I'm so
like,
glad I didn't get to see it.
Cause I looked down, I was like showering myself and I looked down and there's just like blood all down the front of me. And it was like something that I was not prepared for. No. So obviously I freaked out. And like, I didn't know what to do. I was freaking out.
How do you even?
I was like, prepare. Ah! And I get out of the shower and you're trying to help me and I'm still mad at you.
No,
so I was
know.
Like, leave me alone.
No, I think I specifically remember saying like, it doesn't fucking matter anymore. Like we are in, I was like, we are in crisis. Like I got your back. I was like, I'm here for you.
Yes.
I can't remember what we were fighting about too at that point. So
no,
like,
it doesn't even matter.
It doesn't even matter anymore. But I was like, it doesn't fucking matter. Like I've,
and I was freaking out.
You.
Yeah. And so you were like, call the office. He was like, hold on. on. Let me give you a piece of gauze. So you got me gauze. We took a
picture first. I think we have the picture.
And then you got me a piece of gauze. And so I'm just standing there like wet and naked. I think I still had like shampoo in my hair. Yeah, talk
about naked and afraid.
And I have this piece of gauze on my boob and I called the office.
It's funny now, kind of, but like this is genuinely terrifying. Horrifying.
The worst thing that could ever happen. So I call the office and I'm crying, obviously. I'm like trying to pretend that I'm not. And, they're like,
we know. The assistant too is so sweet. And so
I know.
Her voice could make you like so calm and smooth.
I know. She gave me a little pep talk. She was like, we have an appointment with you tomorrow.
Yep.
She was like, you know, just keep pressure on it. She was like, if you have an amount of blood that's like concerning, you know, if it won't stop bleeding after like X amount of time, I don't remember what she said, but if it doesn't stop bleeding after that time, go to the ER and call us and we'll meet you there. But like, keep pressure on it, keep it clean, keep it covered, and we'll see you tomorrow. You know, she's like, she gave me this little pep talk about how like you have so healed like really huge wounds and you did a great job and your body healed perfectly. And so like, whatever this is, we're going to heal it. You're going to do it again and you're going to be great. So just like, keep pressure on it and you're going to be okay. And we'll see you tomorrow. Oh, and I was so like, okay. Sweet.
Yeah.
So
hang up the phone.
And then I'm like, well, I don't know what the fuck to do now. I think I got back in the shower and rinsed my hair out.
I think so. I don't even remember. It happened so fast.
I know. Yeah. And then we covered it. But so then because also too, the funny thing is that like after we had dried it off and it stopped draining, I was like, oh, okay. This hole's not really that big. There's like a little hole. And I was like, okay, maybe there was just fluid and it drained now out of this little hole.
Oh my God. I forgot. Yeah. It was not that bad at first.
We put gauze on it and I was like, okay. That's all that it was. It was just a fluid buildup. I was like, it's like a blister. And now it's better. And so I was like, I'm sure when we go tomorrow, you know, they'll tell us like it's drained and it's better now. And so don't worry about it.
I know. Do we have the pictures? Can you pull up the pictures real quick so I can see 2 seconds refresh? Because I thought it was, my remembering is it was just big at first.
Mm-mm.
This is up a little bit too because my neck's hurting.
This is what it looked like.
Oh yeah, such a cute little guy. Yeah, I would be fine
with
that.
Cute little guy.
Yeah, that in comparison, that's a cute little guy.
Okay, so after this happens, we're like under the impression that this is just a little blister thing and it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
We go to the doctor the following day.
Yeah.
And at this point, when I take the gauze off, I can see that the hole is a little bit bigger than I thought it was, and so that scared me. But I was like, I don't know, like still holding out hope that like, you know, maybe
it's just a little thing.
I think I told you, I was like, they might say that I need to get stitches to close this back up, which is going to suck, but like, it'll be okay.
I would have loved stitches.
Blah, blah, blah. And we go and he's like, oh yeah, this is what I was afraid of. You know, like he was like, you know, when you called us yesterday, I was afraid that this is what it was. And he takes a cotton tip applicator, like a Q-tip, but bigger. Sorry, Gustafer.
Keep talking.
He takes a cotton tip applicator, which is like a Q-tip, but bigger, and he shoves it inside. Not shoves it. He was gentle about it, to be clear. But he pushes it inside this wound, and half of the fucking applicator disappears inside my flesh. And I was like, oh, that's not what I thought was going to happen here today.
Oh, because that was the one appointment I didn't come. That was the only appointment.
Yes.
That was the only appointment I never went to because I had to go to work. And I was like, every other appointment we've been to up until this point had been.
How bad could it be?
And we thought it was just this tiny little thing.
How bad could it be?
Oh my God, that's right.
So he shoves, and also the tech that is normally there couldn't be there.
Yeah, we were both not there.
So there was someone else that like, you know, admittedly she's a very kind and loving and sweet person, but just wasn't who I was used to. And so I'm there with this Q-tip shish kebab situation and like I'm freaking out about this. And he's like, okay, so like here's what this means.
Yeah.
He explained to me, basically he's like moving the Q-tip around. And the situation is essentially, I'll put a picture of my boob, I guess, and then like outline for you what happened. Yeah. But I had a pocket that was like
a cavity.
It was like about 2 inches long is what he said.
Yeah.
Extending from like the, where the actual wound was
picture up here. Yeah.
Extending all the way into like the side of my breast we had to like pack with packing gauze.
Yep.
So he was like, here's what we're going to do. Like, you know, we did packing gauze last time for this thing under here. You're going to have to pack this
pack some more.
Twice a day.
Call
and I was
UPS.
Like, oh, okay. And he was like, also what we're going to do today is chemically cauterize it with silver nitrate because if there is an infection or something in there, we need to kill all of the bacteria and anything in there. He was like, we're going to take some swabs. We're going to send them You know, he's like, you can use your insurance to pay for the swabs if you want. And I was like, yes, please.
Yeah.
And we're going to see if there's an infection. He told me about something called mycobacterium.
Yeah.
That he was like, it might be that because mycobacterium is really slow growing. But he was like, this is odd because you're at about like 9 to 10 weeks. Normally, oh, yeah, mycobacterium shows up about like 6 to 7.
Yep.
So the fact that this is like so late in the game is really strange. You were like cleared and good.
And now, and all of a sudden,
now here we are.
Yeah.
So he was like, we're going to take all these swabs and send them to, you know, this person. And if you do have a mycobacterium infection, then I'll refer you out to an infectious disease specialist who will then help you fix so whatever the fuck that
our
is.
Our minds are just racing now.
Yeah. And also, yeah, because I'm at this appointment by my fucking self. Yeah. Not, you know, I'm not mad at you obviously.
You streamed that day, didn't you? I think that was your first day getting back on stream, wasn't it?
No, or, was it?
I can't remember if you streamed or not that day.
I don't remember. I feel like I didn't.
I genuinely can't. We'll have to look at the time.
Because I think I went home and had a Menti B. I had a little bit of a meltdown.
Yeah.
But so he then like chemically cauterizes it with this thing that looks like a fucking matchstick.
Yeah.
This giant matchstick looking thing that he was like, this is probably going to hurt and I'm really sorry. And the tech was like, she like offered me her hand, which is really sweet. So she held my hand and he cauterized it and it hurt so bad. The thing that's weird is that this boob I don't have sensation in anymore,
yeah,
which can happen, by the way. That's very normal.
Yeah.
So I was like, who cares, right? Like I can't feel anything. I haven't really felt this.
Yeah.
This like thing. So it should be fine. And then he sticks this thing in there and it was just like searing pain.
Oh, it looks
from
awful.
Inside of my boob just, that I was like, yeah, not prepared for. So I felt bad because I did sort of like yell a little bit and I probably scared understand some that of the other, yeah, patients. But he chemically cauterizes it and then packs it and whatever. And I go home. And then that night we went to go take the packing gauze out and change it. And yeah, this is what it looks like. I'll put a thing up on the screen.
Yeah,
I had like zombie boob at this point.
Oh, yeah. Because two also. Yeah, because we were cleaning it too, and it's like all that dead skin and all that dead...
All that skin that had thinned out,
yeah,
just fell off.
Ugh,
so yeah. I had this like open wound
so we were
that was also yellow and gray and scary, yeah, looking.
And obviously you can't see what you're working with, so my job became cleaning said wound hole and,
yes,
then packing it with gauze. Or yeah,
with packing gauze.
Yeah.
So you're taking tweezers and or like these sterile cotton tip applicators, yep, that they gave us,
yep,
and shoving packing gauze, yep, into this wound that's like deep in my you know, inner recesses of my
thankfully
boob.
We went back the next week, yeah, obviously for a checkup, but because I had not been there for the first appointment, mm-hmm, I didn't know what direction I was packing the gauze into,
mm-hmm,
and my impression was that it was up facing,
yeah,
so, mm-hmm, we spent all week packing it and I was like, you know, babe, like I think you're healing.
It's better.
Yeah, you're healing really good.
It's
I was
closed.
Like, we don't even need that much more packing. We went through the weekend. We were good. I was like, I can't even really get any more in there.
Because also, this was over Christmas.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So oh, yeah, we were doing this in a hotel.
We were in a hotel on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Packing gauze.
I'm like, yeah, I think you're really good. Like, I think the next time we go in for an appointment, like, I think you're going to be good to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go to the next appointment. I obviously go with you to this one because I'm like, I'm never letting you go,
yeah,
on your own again.
Mm-hmm. And then he shoves that Q-tip in there in a different direction and, yeah, there's still a fucking giant hole
and
in
I literally
there.
Went you I was like, the hole's that way,
yeah,
and I was like, fuck, and I felt so bad. I felt like I had let you down.
Well, I think because it was like sort of, it's not like,
well,
multi-directional,
you can see in the picture,
but
you can see in the picture, but then also if you can picture like it's going down,
it's like,
is the,
it's almost like how, like if you don't know how to put a tampon in, then you can be putting it like the wrong direction,
yeah,
and you are still technically putting it inside of you, but it's just not like getting quite where it's supposed,
totally,
to go. It's like that kind,
yeah,
of. So we ended up
like hot dogging it instead of like
you were packing it hamburger style,
yeah,
instead of hot dog. So we ended up having to continue packing it for like what, 2 weeks after that.
Oh, I feel like we packed for a long time.
Yeah, it's probably longer. Oh no, you know, you're right, because it was,
because didn't it get almost, bigger? Doesn't it get bigger?
Yeah, it gets worse because it was almost 8 weeks.
Yeah, so.
So after that appointment,
needless to say, this is gonna take a little while to heal.
Yeah. Hold on, just a bunch of pictures of our dogs. So yeah, after that appointment, he chemically cauterized it again. But this is what it looked like when we showed up to the second appointment.
Yes. That's the one I know.
It
That's
had
the
like,
one I know well.
The incision on the outside had like widened. I guess it's not an incision, it's like a wound.
Yeah.
Had like widened on the outside. So it,
well,
felt like it was
too,
just getting bigger and bigger.
Oh, because you had that little one. Wait, is this where we had the little one?
No, not yet.
Even there.
That's
yet.
That's not
See?
Even that.
Yeah, so at this point now, I'm like, this is, like, so overwhelming. Like, this is, like, I thought we were out of,
yeah,
this. Also, too, the fact that there's no stitches there, I'm just, like,
freaky.
My whole time in my head, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, what if, like, This, like, thank God the skin around your nipple had healed. Because, like, what's stopping it from continuing?
That was the fear that I had, was that my whole, because I remember at that first appointment, I asked him, like, are we talking about nipple death? Like, are we talking about peeling my nipple off of my body because it's necrotic tissue? And he was like, no, 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 no. Yeah. Oh, my God. He was like, no, we're not there yet.
Looking
and I was
like, yeah. I'm like so stressed out again.
Oh, it was awful. So we continued to have like weekly checkups with them, and the hole on the outside continued to widen, and they were like, we can't, like, it's going to do that because it's not healed.
So badly, I want to be like, can you please stitch it? Like, just please stitch it.
And they were like, no.
You can't.
Because what happens is that if you close it on the outside while you have this hole in the inside, you'll get an abscess, which is, like, so much worse. That's, like, essentially what ended up happening is that I had an abscess.
Exactly.
And you have to heal it from the inside out. So I had this fucking gaping hole in my boob for, like, 6 to 8 weeks.
So basically, you're just packing kept with getting gauze, worse. And then the skin under is just pushing this gauze out slowly and
This picture that I'm going to show you has some blood in it. It's really scary. So, like, fair warning again. I don't know how you made it this far in the episode, but just fair warning.
Let me see.
You can see the skin, like, healing underneath it.
It's, like, simultaneously the coolest thing and, like, the scariest thing I have ever...
Yeah. Also, all these pictures were taken in fresh out of the shower, to be clear. So that's why there's, like, water and stuff. Yeah. It's not, like, weeping.
Yeah,
it's water.
So essentially, like, our routine for weeks was you would shower and I would be right there and I'd wait for you. And you'd get out we'd clean it and we'd gauze it, or we'd pack it and then gauze it and then give you a little slap on the butt and send you on your way.
Yep.
But did that morning and night before bed.
Yes. And so a few weeks go by and then it starts to look like this, where the outside hole had closed a little bit.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
But there's the little one.
Yep.
I developed something called a skin bridge.
Oh, yeah. Which was also another feat of science.
Yes.
Or
because
feat of nature.
He told me when all of this first went down, he was like, I've never seen anything like this. Like, I truly do not know.
Didn't he call someone into your office?
Well, so the first time when, like, this first thing, like, popped off, he was like, yeah, I've never seen anything like this. I don't know what this is. And I was like, oh, that's so great. Love that for me. And then the second time when I developed this skin bridge, they had hired someone new and he was like, oh, do you mind if I ask our new person to come and look at this? Cause this is somewhat rare as far as medical phenomena, is concerned. And I was like, yay.
I love being,
but I was like, yeah, whatever. That's fine. Pig. So they brought this new person in and
I remember you telling me, he's like, what's that?
He had them look at it and he was like, what do you see? And they were like, a scab. And he was like, look closer. So they're like, up close and personal with my boob looking at it. And they were like, it looks like there's skin in between these two things. And he was like, yes, it's called a skin bridge. That's, like, so rare. But of course, it's so funny too, because, like, doctors are so, like, I don't know. It's like kind of sweet and, like, cute.
Yeah.
Because obviously somebody who makes their life's work about being a surgeon
is,
like, very interested in the human body. But it's, like, so clearly a special interest. He, like, he gave me and this new person a whole talk about, like, how the use of skin bridges revolutionized, like, care during the Civil War or something. There was a surgeon who, like, pioneered this whole technique where they, like, rolled people's skin up their body. They would create these, like, circular, I don't know. It was, like, a whole thing.
Yeah.
But he, like, gave me this whole talk about it, and it's, like, really interesting, like, admittedly.
But
he was like, you can keep it if you want, because he had stuck a Q-tip between it. He was like, it's like you know, you could, like, wedge something in there basically. And he was like, you can keep it, it's kind of a cool party trick if you want, but otherwise, like, it's not going to be the best for your healing. And I was like, all right, cut it off. This was another one of the appointments that you weren't able to be there. So he was,
I remember,
like,
thinking, like, we're close, like, when I sent you on that one, and I was like, there's no more, we're not getting no more silver nitrate, we're good to fucking go.
I told you when I left that morning, I was like, he's silver nitrating this shit again, I can feel
and
it.
And I said no. I was like, this is so damn close. I was like, there's
no way.
Hope against all hope.
He numbed me and then he was like, just look over there. He's like, you don't want to watch this. So I was like, okay. So he just, like, super quick, like, scalpeled it off and I didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
And then silver nitrated it again. Thankfully after that appointment, things really turned a corner.
Well, and that's because too, you also got the, we got the big jug. That big jug he sent us home with of the orange stuff they put on when they do surgery.
I forgot. I think that was the appointment before that. He gave me this huge container of, like, iodine something or other. It's like antibiotics that he had mixed in with, like, iodine and other like sterile fluids.
Yes.
That he was like, it seems like it's a little dry. So when you pack it from now on, wet the packing gauze with this, like, antibiotics and all this stuff. Cause that was the appointment. Oh, I forgot. That was the appointment. You weren't there. And it was like, it was healing, but it wasn't healing super fast.
Yeah.
And he was like muttering to himself, what can I do to make this heal faster?
Why did I have to miss that one? Yeah.
If you had to work, I think.
Yeah.
And so he gave me this whole jug of stuff and told me to wet it and whatever.
Yeah.
But after he cut the skin bridge off, things took a turn and started to get better faster. Yes. Oh, yeah. Actually, after that, I don't have any other pictures until it had fully healed and closed over.
Are we going to share a picture of the fully healed?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Because, yeah, there was a scab on it, and then we had gauze on it still. And then one day when I took the gauze off, the scab came with it, and there was just healed skin underneath.
Pretty pink skin under it.
And I was like, oh, my God, we did it. So that finally healed. And then the next appointment that I had, and he was like, looks good.
I think we're done. We did it.
There's nothing to see here.
Yes.
So I have another checkup in 2 months just to like sort of assess like scars and things like that. Because I told him during the middle of all this that like obviously I was frustrated, but I was also a little bit heartbroken because to ease my anxiety during the healing process, I would look up other people's scars and like healing process to like see how am I comparing to other people's healing. And one thing that I noticed is that my scars were like so minimal in comparison to some of these other surgeries, and not like in a shady way.
No, not at all.
But just that I was like very thankful.
Well,
and then to have
so
this
hard.
Happen where like now I have this like purple, like kidney bean shaped scar. I was like heartbroken.
Yeah.
So I was like especially around my nipples, like there was really, like you wouldn't know.
Oh God, you would never have,
Unless you're like really looking at
them. I would be the only person who would know. Yeah.
And so I told him I was like, you know, a little bit heartbroken about that. And he was like, you know, come see me again in 2 months. He was like, if you're not happy with it, then we can address it and we'll fix it.
Yep.
But he was like, you might be surprised because scars tend to shrink over time. He's like, it probably will look scary when it first, you know, the scab first falls off.
Yeah.
But he was like, give it some time because it'll probably shrink in and you might not notice it as much, especially if you're like putting scar cream on it and like, you know, keeping it moisturized and whatever. So we're like a month out from that, I think.
I think so too. Yeah.
And like the scar is getting smaller,
it's crazy how
to be
long
fair.
That period of time went. And then now I'm like, oh, that's months ago. But like,
I know. No,
like it's really not that been that long.
No, it was really not. It was, I mean, a couple weeks ago.
You went running. So yeah. Do you want to talk about your first? You finally, I know we've talked a little about bra shopping and stuff though, but you officially finally got to go running.
I bought a She Fit sports bra and I went on my first run.
Can you explain what it was like running before again?
Yes. And I do think, I think we talked about this in the first episode.
I think we did.
But pre-surgery, when I would go running, I had obviously so much tissue on my chest that like I would wind myself.
Yeah.
Because just the impact of all of that weight coming down on my chest. Like I think I talked about it in the other episode that like in my headphones, the song, like I would hear like the song stopped playing for like a split second before a new one started.
Yeah.
And I obviously you hear your own little footfalls and whatever.
Of course.
But I would hear my breath go.
Like escaping your body, it sounds like.
Yeah. After I had like taken a breath because it was like pushing all the air out of my body. And obviously too, it's just like heavy. I remember telling you after I got home from my second run post like being fully healed that I noticed that my body moves now as one contiguous unit.
Yeah.
Whereas before running would feel like my body was running and then my boobs were like also moving, but not at the same time. So it was like this shockwave effect where like I would run and then my boobs would move and
like
I would run and my boobs
water
would move.
Or something.
Yes. Yeah, that's like such a perfect analogy.
No, like,
yes.
It's
like
not consistent.
This thing is moving in response to me moving,
yes.
But it didn't even feel like a part of my body anymore. And like, it would also be like disorienting.
It's not like there's no, like there's no rhythm.
I would lose my balance a lot while I was running. And I just felt very like, like I was having to sort of like hold on to this thing that was like trying to fuck my shit all up. So the first time that I went running, I just took a short, like super short little jog.
Of course.
In case something bad happened.
I know. Yeah. Cause I remember too, before you had that, the thing, the open.
The abscess thing. Yeah.
You laid on your stomach one time.
Yeah.
The night before and you're like, this is all because I laid on my stomach. And so obviously now I think it's just cute. It's not cute, I guess. It's probably more like trauma.
Yeah.
But like you're just like very like foot, like toe
gentle.
In the water first before anything now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Also, to be clear, just in case you were curious, because we never really addressed why that happened. We don't know.
Oh, yeah,
all
God.
Of my swabs came back with...
The cultures were
there
fine.
There were no infections. I have no mycobacterium. There was no regular infection. There was no nothing.
They said they just wanted you to do hard mode a little bit.
Listen, we might not never, or we might not ever know why this happened.
It seems like that is going to be the case.
He was like, it's entirely possible that it was just a spitting stitch that for some reason got stuck and it just created this fluid filled pocket that like eroded away at the skin and you had to heal it from the inside out. Yeah. But he was like, you know, it's not like you didn't do anything wrong. Nothing like bad happened.
That skin is healed now too. Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about that.
Definitely, yeah. But yeah, so the first run that I went on, I took like this real gentle short route.
Yeah.
But I did decide to do some sprints as I was like coming back into the neighborhood. And it was the craziest experience because I felt like, I know that this sounds kind of hyperbolic, but it does sort of feel like I'm flying a little bit. Like I just feel like I'm moving so fast.
Yeah.
Which is like, I'm probably not really running any faster than I was before, but I just feel like I can move my body now. And it's like such a euphoric experience just being like, I decided that I want to do this and I don't have to like fight with my body.
I know.
You know?
I remember that too, because previously, right before, because you started going on walks again before and you'd like, because obviously I ran that one time we met in the park or whatever, and then I ran. You're like, God damn it, I just want to be doing that so badly.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember you coming home because I was playing with the dogs. And you just came in like sweaty and out of breath and you're like tearing up and crying. Yeah. And you're just like,
so happy.
Yeah, I can't remember what you said. You're like, I did it or I can't remember what you said. You're
like, I can do that now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so like affirming, I think, to be able to do these things. Because there is just something about running. I don't know what it is, if it's just like, maybe this is like a neurodivergent thing. I don't know.
Maybe.
But it just like I feel so free in my body when I can go run. You know, like there's just something about it that's like oddly spiritual even.
No, I feel I
don't know. I feel the same way about swimming too.
Someone asked me at work, they're like, because I was like, oh, I did a 10K the other day or whatever. And they're like, why do you run so much? And I was like, I don't know, actually. And I thought about it because I'm anxious, but and like other things.
True.
But it really, there's just like such a sense of like getting, like, I feel like it's just a great way because it's like the perfect combination of like brainless.
Yes.
But like focused.
Yes.
Goal oriented.
Uh-huh.
But movement.
Uh-huh.
But it's not chaotic.
Exactly.
So like,
there's something about it. It's the consistency of it.
And you can listen to music.
Yes.
And there's nothing else. Like, no one else. I think a lot of it too for me is like, there's like minimal sensory things, especially if your shoes and your clothes.
Yes, everything's all working.
You're good. Yeah. There's minimal sensory things. And like, no one can fucking bug you or bother you while you're running realistically. Like, unless emergency happens or something. Like,
sure.
That's one of the few times, because like if you're working at home or something, I bother you. We bother each other. Yeah, not bother, but like we.
But then like your phone and your email and like the dogs and the cats and like all this
like,
stuff.
It's like something you can do that just like.
It's very peaceful.
It's like alone.
Yes.
But like in the bed, like salt, like there's a sense of solitude to it.
There's also a feeling like after you get into a good rhythm, because obviously when you first start running, there's that like feeling of like, oof, like why did I?
Every time I'm like, I can't run this. I'm like, like the first mile, I'm like, I can't do this.
This is terrible. But then after you get into this like good rhythm with your body where like you are breathing easily and your body's like moving the way that you want it to, there's something just so like meditative about it that like I do, it's just freeing. I don't know how else to explain it, but I feel like I'm like, free of my body for once when I get to run. It's so nice.
Well, you used to tell me all the time too, because you and your dad used to go running.
Yeah,
and
that too.
You used to run more than I did when we were younger.
Yeah, I did like distance running a lot as a kid.
You were way into it more.
I was like on the little cross country team. I was bad at it, to be fair, but I did love it, you know. my dad and I would go for runs together and stuff. It was very cute.
It's just been so nice to see you do something that you otherwise would have been doing still. And I think that's the thing that just is so, that always like is the special like, especially like chap my ass part about like, oh, well, you're fat because you don't do anything.
Because you're lazy.
Like, but like also like, I like you can't do anything because your body is like actively working
getting
against
in my
you.
Way. Yes. Like if I had not had boobs that were too big to function for like my whole life, I feel like I would have a very different relationship with exercise and with moving my body.
But also,
you know?
Like the over.
Obviously, the eating disorder stuff didn't help.
No, yeah. But, and like the hypersexualization aspect of it too. And also, too, when we look at pictures now, like, do you want to put a picture up of the. Yeah. I think the one in the pink crop top, we saw that one. And we were just like. Like, it doesn't look...
No! It doesn't look like me.
I think everyone... I think the two things that have been so heartwarming to see and hear...
Mm-hmm.
Also, the person who recommended... And
yeah,
just
we
like,
saw that friend for the first time after I had healed.
But I people continue to say you look lighter and, like, you just look more
like myself.
Yourself.
Yeah. Even my mom was like, Miha, you just look so happy.
I was expecting your parents. I know it was so interesting. They just, like...
Yeah.
I think it's the thing, too. Like, there's no... It's not, like, a thing... I guess getting it done in the reverse as like a enlargement would be different, I guess.
Sure.
But
it's
just like not, it's like oh gosh, I don't know how to explain it. It's like it's become like people see you first.
Yes.
Yes. As fucked up as that sounds.
I used to joke that my tits would enter a room like 10 minutes before I did.
Yeah.
But I do like, really feel like a lot of people viewed me in this very hypersexualized way because of my boobs. And now I feel like people see me as a person, which is like fucked up, obviously. Like no one should be doing, like I shouldn't have to do that in order for people to see me.
You did this for so many more reasons than that.
Yeah, exactly.
But as a side effect.
But it is still really nice to feel like I'm a person first and not like, the first thing that people notice about me now is not my boobs anymore.
Yeah.
Which is so healing.
That has to feel good, especially and wonderful. As someone who like your entire life, you're like adolescent and teenage and young adult.
I was in like the fourth grade when people started rumors about me like stuffing my bra. I
already told me about that. Like just
like
kids are so mean.
Kids are cruel, but also like, you know, it's developmentally appropriate. We don't know any better.
And like understandably, but like still you had to experience.
Yeah. Like it's been a thing that's like followed me around my whole life. You know, it's so fun and just like easy and simple now to like just be myself.
I think
myself.
Too, like exist, like I can't wait for summer to see how you feel.
Oh my God.
Because I know too, like the boob, the under boob sweat was like the biggest.
I don't have under boob anymore. Yeah. I used to be able to smuggle like an entire, like I could put a whole fifth of vodka probably under my boobs and you wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
But now I don't have enough of a breast crease to hide
much,
a pencil
there's not,
anymore.
There's not much to hide under there.
They literally just like sit on my chest wall and do
nothing.
Which
is like an experience you've probably never.
No. And it's so fun. They just like do nothing.
Yeah.
I love that
for
them.
What other things have you noticed or like what are your favorite?
One thing that I like did not expect at all is that I would say a solid like 75 to 80% of the time now.
I already know what you're going to say.
What?
No, good.
I wear a like a bra cami top as my shirt for like,
I'm like
most of the time.
I don't even know what your wardrobe is anymore other than that. You're like, when you have to wear regular clothes, you're like, why the fuck would I do this?
When
like,
I have to wear anything with sleeves, I'm like,
like why? For what?
I do feel like it's definitely heightened my sensitivity to clothes with sleeves and necks.
Necks,
because I fucking hate wearing any, like sleeves are bullshit.
Yeah.
Necklines are the worst. I just don't.
How's
I like wearing tank
on
tops.
Your old clothes or like what?
Weird.
Do you,
there was a couple of things that I really anticipated would still fit, but they don't, like my workout clothes.
Yeah,
I had a couple of like bra cami things that I had gotten from Old Navy that like did actually fit my boobs.
Yeah.
And now they like pucker weird.
It's so funny to see stuff fit on you differently, but not in a better way.
No,
it's so crazy.
I also bought a bunch of tank tops, these like elasticy stretchy tank tops that I found on like TikTok shop or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, these will still fit, like they're stretchy, you know, they'll just like
how could they not
slap back down when I don't have boobs.
Yeah.
But they're so high up in my armpits.
Oh, that's the other thing. Yeah,
that
yeah.
I didn't realize that I had breast tissue like all up in here that I was like covering with bras and tops. And so it wasn't a sensory issue because it was just like whatever. But now that my breast tissue like stops realistically like right here, I'm like, ooh, I don't want anything in my armpits ever. Leave me alone.
I think it's been so interesting to watch you. Like you, I don't think we realized how much you were like shopping for your boobs essentially. Like it wasn't even like whether you wanted to wear clothes or not. Like
Well, and there's a lot of things now that like I'm able to wear that I would have never been able to wear before.
Yeah.
But not because like my boobs would be too big, because it would be like too short because my boobs took up too much of the fabric,
like crop tops,
or like, it would be like too like cleavagey. And so I would never wear it. But now, like, especially when I'm not wearing a bra, I could like almost flat hand in between my two boobs and not have cleavage, which I love.
I know.
It makes me so happy.
Fun. I just...
The only thing I haven't done yet is wear a binder because I am really curious to see what that will feel like to try to like minimize my breast tissue and be able to wear mask clothing more easily. And I haven't done that yet, but I am really excited to try it. I'll have to update you guys when I try that.
Yeah.
So,
but
also if you have recommendations for where to get a binder, please let me know because I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I've never been able to wear one before.
I don't know. And obviously
my breast tissue was like entirely too large. Like that would have been a joke. You know,
that would have been like, for what?
Yeah.
I don't.
Oh, that was the other thing is wearing a sports bra because I bought a SheFit, which was the same sports bra that I wore before. Before when I would put that sports bra on, obviously the mechanics of it are that you pull the straps
those
and then Velcro
those
them.
Those are good pieces of clothing.
I know. But it would push my boobs up into my neck. And so I would feel like I was choking because even, especially while I was running, when things are moving like up towards your neck, it would be like, oh, like I felt like I couldn't breathe even more so. And now it does still obviously like push your boobs up a little bit.
Yeah.
But like, that's really the only time that I have cleavage now is when I'm
I know. Can we talk about you laying on your back now and stuff?
Oh like my to, like, God.
Like you can actually exist.
Yes. Oh my God. I forgot to tell you this. I noticed this the other day when I did, there was like a yoga thing that I was doing, like yoga by Adrienne or whatever, like a year or two ago.
Oh, I know you were so sad this month, or this year you didn't get to do that.
I know. Yeah. But so there are yoga poses that have been like off limits to me for like the majority of my adult life.
Yeah.
Because I like runner's lunge, especially, I could never do because my boobs were too big to rest over my knee. Because the poses that you put both hands on either side of your leg and then your chest like rests on your knee, my boobs were too big to do that. So my posture would be like off where I'd either have to try to put my knee in between or I'd have to like move both of them on one side. So it was like not quite right. It like didn't sit right.
Yeah.
And I don't remember. I think it was like clipping my toenail or something. And I was able, I like put my leg up and it was like, you know, near my chest, but I was like, so I got down on the floor really quick. And I can do runner's lunge now. I can like fully like both hands on the ground. But isn't
also,
that wild?
Also, can we just talk about how wonderful and like quality of life improving that has been to like just, I love just hearing you find like I was cooking something and like I didn't have to also can we talk about your mannerisms. I don't know if anyone else has noticed it or not.
You know what's funny, I noticed that when we were editing footage together.
Because you're like because I was like your arms don't move this like you're you can just tell you have like more range of motion or something or like
when I would refer to myself, if I would say like and I, before I would go like this because I would have to like go around where my boobs were, but now I can just like flat hand on, chest. On my chest. Isn't that so fun?
I just
also the other thing tired. We forgot to mention this about recovery. One of the other like first discoveries that I made when I was like really early post-op was eating. I sat down to eat something that you had made me like just, still in my hospital like pajamas.
You were very high still to say the
and
least.
And I looked down and I was like, I can see my food. I started crying because I can see now what is on the table in front of me instead of having to like
also, can peer we talk over about top of my food, boobs. Like, doesn't fall into your.
I know. I don't have crumbs in my boobs all the time anymore. It's so nice. Oh. Now I get food in my belly instead.
Yeah. I love that.
But that's much easier to clean, so I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I think it's funny too to see like where, like, especially like eating soup and stuff or whatever.
Yes.
Like where you will get like little, because obviously when you're eating soup, like there's little splatters.
Yeah, especially ramen. I always take my shirt off when I eat ramen because I just get it everywhere.
You sound like we're just bare chested eating ramen.
I'm fine with that. Listen,
I'll get
ramen on my bra instead of my shirts because it doesn't come out, the oil stains don't come out.
I get it. You don't have to explain it to me. I get it completely.
I feel like that's most of my discoveries. Is there anything else?
I don't think so. I think it's just been so life-giving, and also too the price, albeit was a lot.
Should we talk about that? Are you comfortable disclosing how much you spent? Because I don't care.
I don't care personally. I mean, put that bitch on the credit card.
Yeah So let's be clear about that also, that like affording a surgery like this out of pocket is not a realistic possibility for us. We would never have been able to do this if we didn't have a credit card.
I will say we have been able to afford it thanks to the channel.
That too, actually.
Without a doubt, with our regular...
I was very surprised.
Yeah. Seriously, thank you, everyone.
Yes.
Because you have been actually like a very huge part in making this happen.
Yeah, I think somebody asked me a question a while ago about like just subscribing to the Patreon or whatever. Is that going to mean that you're like more able to afford your surgery or whatever? And I was like, yeah, in kind like of a roundabout way. And like very much that. We were surprised a couple of months just because we had like a lot of people join the Patreon. Yeah. And then also with like the live streams and people gifting memberships and stuff, like that money it made a fucking gigantic difference.
Genuinely helped us afford gender affirming care.
And so the surgery in total was...
18,500?
I think so. I think it was like $18,500 or $19,000. Because we also put like a couch on the credit card around the same time. Or I think like after.
After your recovery, we were like, we both were like, I'm never sitting on this fucking couch again.
That's what it was. Because the cats peed on the couch.
The cats peed on it and I said, get the fuck rid of it. Yeah. I don't give a fuck. Like, I hate
because
this
we were like, we
couch.
Can't fucking keep this thing.
Because both of our necks were just fucking.
Well, and also then because I couldn't help you clean it. And so it was just like our whole house smelled like cat pee while I was having like boob recovery bullshit. So we ended up buying a couch around the same time. But I think the actual surgery, like all in, we ended up spending probably $20,000.
Because that's the most the credit card could do. And we definitely maxed
that. We maxed that credit card. But we did end up being able to pay down that balance.
We are working on it.
And we did. Oh, yeah. And it's not paid off.
It's not gone.
No. I mean, like, pay it down as in, like, we can make payments on
it. Yes.
And we did get a bunch of points on the credit card. I don't really know what that means, but, like, good for
us.
We have
points? I don't know what they're for, but we have them.
But, yeah, so we in total spent probably $20,000. And, like, who knows when we'll pay that off. But, like, I don't know. It was worth it to me.
Yeah. I will definitely say you guys have been helping, though.
Yeah. Yeah, for real. Thank you guys for, like, supporting the channel and like, you know, being along for the ride.
Honestly, even just, like, helping. Because I'm trying. I would love to not have to.
I know.
I would love to just do this full time with you.
I know. I would love that someday. Too. Yeah.
But
yeah, even just being here and, like, watching the videos and liking them and all that stuff helps so much.
Honestly,
so,
the community, like, alone, like,
worth it.
If you guys never spend a single fucking dollar, I could not care.
Y'all are cool. We're just excited to be your friends mostly. Yeah. So.
And just being here with us, like, means so much. Yeah.
Thank you guys for that. For real. I think that's a nice place to wrap up the episode.
Too.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Thank you guys immensely for all of your support and also the nice messages that you guys sent me.
I know, like, everyone was so sweet.
Genuinely made me cry.
And so, God damn, I'm just so thankful. Like, every day. Every single day.
Y'all are the coolest and we appreciate you very much. Obviously, if you want to support the channel, you can like the videos and subscribe and leave reviews and all those things.
Come play video games with us. We've been playing Pal World and Jackbox.
We're starting a Terraria server on the Discord.
Figure it out.
Yeah, we're going to figure that out.
I'll figure it out. But yeah, like, come hang out with us.
Come hang out with us. I think we're pretty fun.
Yeah.
So.
All right, cool. Thank
you, everybody. We love you the most, and we'll see you next week. Okay, bye.
Oh, no, bye. You said okay, bye, so I got thrown off.
Do you want to do it again?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you guys immensely for being here again. We love you the most and we'll see you next week. Okay, bye.
Much better.